The following program is brought to you by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, and I'm Pastor Schulze.
My topic today is, "But none of these things move me." But none of these things move me. Welcome to the Call to Obedience radio ministry. I'm Pastor Schulze, and this broadcast is brought to you every week at this time over the station. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for your divine illumination on thy sacred word. In the name of Jesus, amen. At the first church service, listen to this, at the first church service the Apostle Paul ever attended, he was rejected. And the last church service, or the last church he served, would not pay him a salary. So, think about this. Our text is from Acts chapter 20. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that among whom I have gone preaching, the kingdom of God shall see my face no more." Unquote. So, Paul is saying, none of these things move me. These words are not only Paul's motto at his final farewell to his brethren at Ephesus, but they were the standard of his life. None of these things move me. These words stand in stark contrast to the ups and downs, the ins and outs, the yeses todays and the noes tomorrow of many a Christian. For many of today's Christians are moved about with the ease and frequency of a leaf in the wind or a cloud in the sky. People are moved in and out of churches, prayer meetings, and relationships by the slightest whims of discontent and hurt feelings. And any pastor trying to please the diversity and multitude of human expectations of his parishioners to keep them in his flock better plan on another eternal destination than heaven. God never calls a minister to be a man-pleaser. God never calls a man to the ministry but to please God. And the desires men have as to what a minister ought to do, to attend to, and to behave, how he is to behave, are running contrary to God's plans for his chosen ones. Spirituality never satisfies carnality, and carnality will never satisfy spirituality. There is no bending of spiritual principles. The spiritual are content with Christ. The root system is deep enough so that they shall not be moved from finishing their course with joy. They know that we cannot leave the church, the body of Christ, for to leave the body is also to leave the head, that is Christ himself. It's like basketball. If you leave the team because you're upset and exchange basketball court for a hoop in your driveway, you forfeit any chance of ever making basketball history. You have to stay with the team, and you as a Christian, my friend, need to stay with the body of Christ. There has never been any Christian in 2,000 years of church history who has made a notable contribution to the kingdom of God outside the church. Outside Christ's body, we don't exist, and our witness has no validity. God never forsook Israel, never, even in a most adulterous, idolatrous, and rebellious state. Jesus gave and continues to give himself to the church as is. Oh, the devil fights so terribly hard to get us out of the churches And Jesus works so hard to keep us in the churches. Now, let me list four reasons why Paul could easily have been moved away from the Lord and his church. And then, my friend, ask yourself the question whether you have any better reasons for quitting than he had. Number one, consider that Paul had a rough conversion. First, notice that on the road to Damascus, he is struck to the ground by a bright light. It almost scared him to death. Then he makes an absolute surrender to God, which most Christians never make in a lifetime. Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And then he opens his eyes and he can't find his horse. He sees nothing. I hear much about the prosperity theology, once you're saved, all will be well, and yet Paul was struck with blindness at his conversion. So here's the first call of the devil telling him to quit because it isn't worth it. However, the Apostle Paul gives himself to 3 days of prayer and fastings. In those 3 days, he sees so much of this great salvation of Jesus that it matters not any more to him whether he will see anything or anybody else the rest of his life. And because Paul became sweeter rather than bitter at the end of those 3 days, he received his sight and was filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, Paul said, none of these things shall move me. Secondly, Paul's first church service was a negative. Full of the Holy Spirit, Paul seeks out the Holy Ghost-filled church in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit fell on her, on this church, again and again, and healings abounded. Paul enters the vestibule of this church and gives his name and testimony to the usher, and he is expelled. That is Paul's first day in church. Now, what would your response be under similar circumstances? Would it be the time to write off the church as hypocritical or spiritually insensitive? Or would you be like Paul, saying, but none of these things move me. I shall finish my course with joy. And if I can't get into the church through the front door, I'll try to get into the church through the back door. But I know I belong there. Oh, my friend, Paul said, none of these things move me. Oh, there's a message here for church quitters. Thirdly, consider Paul was sent back home. Barnabas finally gets Paul into the church. However, after Paul preaches his first sermon in Jerusalem, it creates a riot, and the Grecian Jews tried to kill him. There were no doubt over 50,000 Christians in Jerusalem by this time, and nobody's witness created a stir, only Paul's. The Christians don't like the stirring, and to protect Paul and the rest from his ways, they ship him back to Tarsus, where he was raised. Nobody ever made an effort to hide him in an attic or basement. Paul had such a hard time getting into a Holy Ghost church. Now, my friend, having entered it finally, he's quickly sent out of her, sent back home. Your reaction? Would it be crushed? Would it be hurt? Would it be disappointed? Would you be resentful? Paul's response, none of these things move me. I will finish my course with joy. And because Paul stayed sweet and draws closer to Jesus in Tarsus, rather than becoming bitter, God sends Barnabas there to bring him back to preach in Antioch, the place where Jesus' disciples were first called Christians. Barnabas seems to have been one of the very few who knew who Paul was and what he was really worth. So, what a great slogan, what a great word. Paul said, none of these things shall move me. Now, Barnabas leaves Paul, my friend, and the money dries up. Barnabas was the only man who had the diplomatic abilities and respect to keep the church behind the Apostle Paul. You see, Paul had some unpopular habits, such as preaching too long and expressing a complicated theology for the layman, such that even Peter had trouble with Paul's sermons in grasping them. Such men as Paul needed gifted, influential leaders to keep the bridge open between them and the people, between Paul and the congregation. But in Acts chapter 15, verse 39, that bridge collapses as a result of Barnabas leaving Paul. And from then on, churches only gave lip service to Paul, and the offerings to him soon went down to zero. Oh, what a time to quit. What can you do without money? Well, again, none of these things shall move me, said the Apostle Paul. He, like Jesus, knew that the kingdom of God does not run on money, but on the power of God. So, yes, he often went hungry, cold, and homeless from time to time. He spent 3 years with the Ephesian churches, and on departing Ephesus, he says, I have coveted no man's silver. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to them that were with me. So he labored in the churches, and he labored in the homes, but no paycheck. Not only did he labor for his own necessities, but also for those who were with him. He became a tent maker on the side. When he left, they all wept sore, hung on his neck, and kissed him, but no paycheck. He should have been crying instead of them, unpaid, unsupported, and facing prison, never to leave it alive. But no, he cried not. Instead, he proclaims, But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. If there is any man that had reasons to leave the church or to become critical, bitter, or resentful toward her, it was Paul. But no, he became sweeter, more and more Christ-like, and immovable for her cause. And because of his response, his marvelous response to all these rejections and disappointments, we today have 13 books in the Bible we otherwise would not have had. 13 books that over these last nearly 2,000 years have pointed millions of people to Jesus Christ. Oh yes, consider the loss, my friend, the church has had throughout the centuries, the loss of millions who have allowed themselves to be separated from her by the clever tricks of the devil, by giving in to resentment, criticism, and hurt feelings. Dear friend, it's not worth it. It's not worth it for anything. So I challenge you, stay with Jesus. Stop making excuses. Let nothing move you from the calling of God to work in and with the body of Christ as is. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you will deliver us from this awful spirit of quitting and running from this place to that place in a spirit of discontentment. And we pray, Jesus, O God, in your great mercy, strengthen us and help us to put our roots down and stay with it, that as we come to the end of our journey, we can say with the Apostle Paul, But none of these things shall move me, but I'll finish my course with joy. This we pray for your honor and glory. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you for listening today. Tune in again next week at the same time to the Call to Obedience radio ministry. I'm Pastor Schulze. Goodbye now until next week.